J.R.R. Tolkien started writing a sequel to The Lord of the Rings. He obviously never finished it, but he did tell us what it was going to be about and why he never finished it. Let's see what he started writing and what we can learn from it about the wider world of The Lord of the Rings. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's legendarium, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Famously, J.R.R. Tolkien started writing The Hobbit after scribbling the opening line, "In a hole in the ground there lived a hobbit," on a blank page of an exam paper he was marking, then proceeded to write the first draft in relatively swift time. The Lord of the Rings was a more detailed, lengthy and iterative process over many years. He began thinking about the possibility of a sequel, it seems, sometime in the late 1950s or early 1960s, by just starting to write it, imagining what the world would be like sometime after the end of the books and once all the characters we know have departed. In fact, he started writing the story three times, never getting beyond a few pages in before abandoning it. The best surviving version we have, which amounts to about 13 pages of prose, can be found in The Peoples of Middle-earth, one of Christopher Tolkien's wonderful collations of his father's previously unpublished works and notes. The story itself, to which Tolkien gave a working title of The New Shadow, was set 220 years after the events of The Lord of the Rings. Middle-earth was then a very different world to the one we saw in The Lord of the Rings. Sauron has fallen, the Rings of Power have lost all their power, the elves have sailed west or faded in Middle-earth, dwarves are delving deeper underground and vanishing from society, humans rule. This is the dominion of man. Aragorn ruled the reunited kingdoms of Gondor and Arnor for 122 years. He was wise and true to the last, and was succeeded by his and Arwen's son, Eldarion. Eldarion's reign was also a long one, and he was also wise and good, though perhaps a notch or so down on his father. The story we have here happens right at the very end of his reign, perhaps even causing his death. We never get to that point in the plot, so we'll never know. 13 pages may not be a lot to go on, but thankfully it does include a lot of exposition, allowing us to see the outline of what the story would have been about. The tale is told from the point of view of Borlas, who was the youngest son of Beregond. You may not remember Beregond, but he was an important, if minor, character in The Lord of the Rings. He was a soldier of Gondor during the climactic battles of the Return of the King. He befriended Pippin, and it was he who prevented Denethor's guards from burning Faramir alive, fighting his way past some Denethor loyalists, then standing watch. He also stopped Denethor from killing Faramir himself, before fighting side by side with Pippin at the Battle of the Morannon. In short, he's quite the unheralded hero. To return to the New Shadow, Borlas, his son, is living as an old man on the banks of the River Anduin. He is one of the few left in Gondor who retain even a distant memory of the real evil and threat posed by Sauron. All around him, people have forgotten, growing up not knowing the reality of evil. Orcs are figures of fun and mockery, and the century-long reign of Aragorn's son has brought peace, prosperity, and apathy. The bulk of the story of the New Shadow is actually a conversation between Borlas and Saelon, a younger man. Many years earlier, Borlas had caught Saelon stealing an apple from his garden and told him he was doing orc's work, a jibe that clearly stuck with Saelon. The conversation they have as the story opens is quite meandering and occasionally philosophical, but Borlas talks of the dark tree, a sort of abstract analogy for evil, saying that its roots can never be truly destroyed, so will rise once more if left unwatched and untended. Saelon keeps going with this discussion about evil and mentions a character named Herumor, who appears to be the leader of some kind of cult of those discontent under the current rule of Eldarion, and perhaps even harking back to darker names and leaders. People have been disappearing mysteriously, and something is clearly not right with the realm. Neither Saelon nor Borlas wish to admit what they know of all this, but Saelon leaves Borlas with an intriguing, if rather sinister, invitation. He will pass by Borlas's house at nightfall. If Borlas wants to know more, he is to dress all in black and follow Saelon on a journey. Borlas is left alone. Will he take Saelon up on his invitation? He decides that he will, not because he wants to learn more about evil, but, in his own words, "Perhaps I have been preserved so long for this purpose, that one should still live, hale in mind, who remembers what went before the great peace. Scent has a long memory. I think I could still smell the old evil and know it for what it is." Resolved, he goes to his house, and the last we read is that suddenly he smelt it, or so it seemed, though it came as it were from within, outwards to the sense. He smelt the old evil and knew it for what it was. And there Tolkien finished writing. What was lurking in Borlas's house? What was Ceylon up to? What would Borlas have discovered if he had followed Ceylon that night? And who was Heremor, that mysterious figure we never even meet? We will never know. Eventually, the good guys do win, it seems, for we are told elsewhere that Eldarion's kingdom would endure for 100 generations, but it's probably not too much of a stretch to suggest that the plot of The New Shadow would have seen the end of Eldarion's rule. Tolkien had originally planned on setting the story during Aragorn's reign, but then changed his mind. It would take place at the very end of Eldarion's reign instead. I think the most likely reason for this change is the very premise of the plot. People had forgotten about the evil of Sauron and Morgoth. Aragorn would never have let that happen, nor would Arwen. Their son, a now aged ruler born after Sauron's demise, so never personally knowing the fear of the Shadow of Mordor, would be a very different prospect indeed. So, if Tolkien had an idea for a story and he started writing it, and I'm sure it would have been excellently written and well received when he finished it, why didn't he finish it? Indeed, why didn't he ever even get past the opening scene? Instead of speculating, let's look at what he himself said in full from a letter he sent in 1964. "I did begin a story placed about 100 years after the downfall, but it proved both sinister and depressing. Since we are dealing with men, it is inevitable that we should be concerned with the most regrettable feature of their nature, their quick satiety with good. So that the people of Gondor in times of peace, justice and prosperity would become discontented and restless, while the dynasts descended from Aragorn would just become kings and governors, like Denethor or worse. I found that even so early there was an outcrop of revolutionary plots about a centre of secret satanistic religion, while Gondorian boys were playing at being orcs and going around doing damage. I could have written a thriller about the plot and its discovery and overthrow, but it would have been just that, not worth doing." So Tolkien felt that this idea would have turned into a straightforward and rather dark thriller, rather than the all-encompassing mythological history that once drove his creative art. Whatever you may think of that reason, we have to admire his commitment to maintaining the standards and feel of his creation. But what can we learn from this? Because clearly whatever Tolkien did write was based on and in the world he had created and adds to the legendarium, even if he never finished it. There's no indication that he changed his mind on roughly what would happen in Gondor at that time, just that he didn't want to write about it anymore. First up, we can see the geopolitical implications of what had happened in the War of the Ring and afterwards in the diminishing of the non-human races and the dominion of man. It took just 1 or 2 generations for the world to feel completely different, for people to grow up not just not knowing about what happened during the time of the Lord of the Rings, but not caring, not thinking it was relevant to them. Humanity does forget quickly. There's also a clear implication that this would have been a low fantasy story, much in contrast to the quintessential high fantasy of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. There are no elves or dragons or monstrous magical enemies here, just humans with legends of the past that are viewed as just that, legends and in the past. The story would have been less removed from our own existence and, I suspect, feel less universal in its mythological appeal. Also, there's perhaps a bit of Tolkien's personal philosophy coming through here. The reason he abandoned this project was because he felt it irreparably too focused, with humanity's satiety with good. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that a staunch Catholic should hold the view that human beings are fundamentally fallen and can tend to move away from good and be tempted by evil. We see it in The Lord of the Rings as well, through the device of the One Ring corrupting people, even fundamentally good people like Isildur and Boromir. If evil is not faced up to and confronted, it will spread. As we saw, one of the key concepts in The New Shadow is the Dark Tree, the concept of growing evil in Middle-earth, a dark tree whose roots can never be fully destroyed, so that evil will once again arise if the tree is left untended or unwatched. When we do not actively keep watch for evil, it will return, Tolkien would seem to suggest, like when Gondor slowly abandoned its duties to watch over Mordor. And sometimes, in order to preserve the good in the world, we need to step out of the Shire with hope in our hearts and journey to the darkest places, whatever the cost. The Dark Tree is very clearly being placed here as an opposite to the White Tree of Gondor, which stands for renewal and hope and goodness. But conceptually, it is perhaps also an embodiment of the quote attributed to Edmund Burke, that the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Tolkien went to great pains to ensure his work was not close to being an allegory with one clear interpretation, but applicable to many people in many situations. And although we shouldn't assume that this early draft would have stayed unchanged, perhaps this was at the heart of his decision not to proceed with The New Shadow. It would have been very obvious what the point was that Tolkien was trying to make through his story, or what his view was of human nature. Fundamentally, The New Shadow was set to be focused on the flawed nature of humanity, with hope perhaps an even more distant glimmer than in The Lord of the Rings. The entire plot appears to be based on this premise, and that's not what Tolkien wanted from his creation. He may have believed in the fallibility of humanity personally, but he was constantly wary of projecting his own views into his creation. Just read his foreword to The Lord of the Rings. He recognised that he could never truly eliminate his personal biases and upbringing, none of us ever can, but he didn't want his fiction to be just him telling us what he thought. It was for everyone, a story, not a sermon. Making his sequel to The Lord of the Rings about humanity's tendency to grow bored of good made it feel very straightforward to his nuanced mind. When he talks of him not wanting to write a thriller, it wasn't him thinking of it as a genre he disliked so much as a set of walls boxing in his creation. It would have been a self-contained story relying on suspense, excitement, plot twists, and so on, which might have been fun to read, but it wouldn't have been a broad, sprawling epic like The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien had no interest in just writing a good, fun story. His aim was always much, much higher than that. And that is why he could never finish that sequel to The Lord of the Rings. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, there's a playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.